Grace and peace be yours, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. So the book of Romans has 16 chapters. I think I've pointed that out. 16 chapters, and Romans 8 is the halfway point. And as I've said before, I don't mean mathematically, I mean thematically. If you were to say Romans part 1 is Romans 1 to 8. I would even say it's Paul's little book of the gospel. When we say the gospels, we often mean Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. But if you want to have the clearest presentation of gospel truth, of what God has done in Christ for your salvation, read Romans 1 to 8. What a wonderful place, right? And in those chapters, remember, things we've been talking about have been what? Sin and rebellion. But we've also been talking about grace and faith. We've talked about what God has done in Christ. And we've talked about how what Christ has done is received by us through faith, not by works. All that's Romans. We've talked about Abraham as the father of faith, and we've even talked about then the fact that once we're saved, we still wrestle with the sin nature, right? So tonight is the third week in a row on Romans chapter 8, and it's also the last verses of Romans chapter 8. So think of this, Romans chapter 8, the last chapter of the first half of Romans, and tonight's lesson, the last verses of Romans chapter 8. So what does he say? Right? That's what we know. Paul is summing up this section. He's saying, in view of everything we've been talking about, what do I want to say? Romans chapter 8, just to highlight some sections. Romans 8 verse 1, therefore, there's now no condemnation. So when we read Romans 8, remember, no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. That is talking about your salvation, right? That's talking about your justification through faith alone. Therefore, there is no condemnation. Romans chapter 8, remember that's where it starts. No condemnation, that's justification. Romans 8, 5, that begins a section on sanctification. We've been saved, and that's where Paul starts talking about the flesh and the spirit. And the flesh works against God's will, and the spirit follows God's will and all that. And then God's Holy Spirit helping us in that struggle. So Romans 8 goes justification, then sanctification, and then Romans 8:15, then adoption. And that's what I've been talking. I love that theme. I've been talking about that, that adopted as sons and daughters of God. And then last week, 8:18, I wanted everybody to remember three words. Anybody know what they were? Not worth comparing. Paul says we have trouble in this life, don't we? We have trouble in this life, but we're headed to future glory. And he says, if I'm going to lay out there the present sufferings and the future glory and lay them side by side, how would you compare them? Not worth comparing. Saying all that, Romans 8:28. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who've been called according to his purpose. That's a beautiful verse, also a very tough verse, is it not? Hear it in. We know that in what kind of things? We know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him. All things. What makes that so tough? I'll ask you this. Does a Christian ever receive from the doctor a diagnosis of cancer? Have Christians ever watched the decline of a loved one? Have Christians ever, let's be frank, experienced sexual assault? Then how do we read this verse, you see? Do Christians ever experience the loss of their job? Yeah. It's not an easy thing. And we should know, Paul is not a guy with rose-colored glasses, right? When Paul talks about life, what's Paul been through? Paul's been rejected. He's been hated. He's been gossiped against. He's been taken to the edge of town and beaten to an inch of his life. He's been shipwrecked. When Paul says that in all things, God works together for good, he's not saying, my life's been perfectly rosy and God's in that. When he said all things, he meant all things. It's very, very tough. Isn't it the case that very often we go through certain things? It might take years to understand, right? Some things that can happen. We don't get forgive to reinterpret what happened to me or my family. Many Christians, in fact, use Romans 8:28 as kind of a band-aid. We see somebody suffering, and we say, Romans 8:28, God works in all things. It's not that it's wrong, it's that sometimes people have to discover that on their own, right? Sometimes I think the misusing of the scripture is not that we're just misusing the verse by itself, but we're misusing it by timeliness. Isn't that the case? I always love it in scripture. What was the error of Job's friends? Do you remember that? Job and all his suffering. What's the error of Job's friends? They can't shut up, right? Remember when they first come to Job and it says they sit down and they say nothing for a week? That's wonderful. When people experience difficult things, to be with them and then say little. And they start out great for a week. The rest of the book is them yammering on about their favorite pet theories and concepts about God. So Romans 8:28, it's true, but let's be careful about it. Now it is there, so we need to look at it. Paul says this, in all things God works for our good. I don't always see it today, but we need to press on then. Well, what does he say in the next few verses? That was 8:28. He goes on to 29 and 30. And some of us probably twitch in those verses. But what I want us to notice is, I put it here in my notes, all those past tense verbs. Hear what he says. Those God foreknew, he also predestined. And that's where we twitch, right? Predestined. Now it sounds like the Calvinists are going to have something to say. For those God, let's hear the verses. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. Notice, by the way, it's a predestination to conformity to the image of Christ, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. In this sequence, and those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. Those he justified, he also glorified. And I want us to get this. The Calvinist, and they love to debate the Arminians, right? If you love theology, you know, oh, the Calvinist versus the Arminian debate. I want you to know this as a Lutheran tonight. The next time you hear the Calvinists debating the Arminians, I want you to stand outside of that discussion. Or if you want to get into it, I want you to say to each of them, you're half right, and you're half right. Okay? The Calvinists love to say that God has chosen everybody on the planet. God himself has chosen. Those are saved. Those are lost. There's nothing you can do about it. God has decreed it in his wisdom. An awful doctrine, right? The Bible doesn't say that. Arminianism says, well, that's wrong, so if God didn't choose it, then we must choose it, right? Like we of our own free will chose to be lost or to be saved, and this is why I say you should stand out of it. Lutherans want to say both sides is half right. It is true that we are saved by God's grace alone, isn't that right? I didn't invent the gospel. I didn't write the gospel. I didn't do the work of the gospel. Christ did the work of salvation. The Holy Spirit brought it to me. If I'm saved, if you're saved, how are we saved? God working on us. But if we're lost, why are we lost? Because of our stubborn human will that rejects and walks away from the promise, right? So please don't get involved with the Calvinistic Arminian debate. You're outside of it. But here's what I want us to notice about this passage. All the verbs are in the past tense. And wouldn't you agree, if we said God called us, that I get, past tense. But the last one was he glorified us. So here's what I'm pointing out. When I say your glory, when does that happen? Is that now on earth? No. Your glory is in heaven. But did you hear this? Your glory is in the future. But it says that those he predestined, what does he say? He predestined those he called. Those he called, he justified. Those he justified, he also glorified. Past tense, you're not in heaven yet. What on earth is up with the verb tenses? Here's what's going on. God sees things that haven't yet happened as though they already are. Does that make sense? We don't want to argue with the Calvinists about predestination because we want to say that God has done the work of our salvation. And if you're saved, he knows that. And if you're going to heaven, he knows that. And Paul says, all things work together for good, and we have a God who called us, who justified us, who predestined us, who's going to glorify us, but in his mind, it's all as good as done. Right? We need to know that because whatever circumstances we're facing, we've been predestined, called, justified, glorified, some of it already, some of it not yet, but in God's mind, it's certain. That's what I want us to hear, right? Now, all things God works together for good. Our good is certain. We're sure. If God is certain about it, what should I be? Certain, right? That's why the verbs are past tense. And here's the proof in the next few verses. He goes on to say in verses 31 to 34, if God is for us, who can be against us? That's true. If God is for us, who can be against us? I always want to say, well, lots of people can be against us. None of whom are God. Do we remember that sometimes? None of whom are God. More, Paul says, he who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also along with him graciously give us all things? So Paul says, we know that everything God is doing is working for our good. Here's one of the proofs, the cross. Right? God gave up his son. Does he love us? God gave up his son for our salvation, right? That's a historical fact. That's an event. That's something that has already happened. That's a true thing. He has said God didn't spare his son. How wouldn't he be looking out for us? And more, he continues, if that's true, then who will condemn us? God has justified us. Who can condemn us? Answer, no one. No one. Did you know the name Satan means accuser, right? That's what Satan does. Satan accuses. To go back to the book of Job again, at the beginning of the book, isn't that what Satan does? He goes to heaven and God says, hey, look at my servant Job. He follows me all the time. And what does Satan say? He says, that's because you bless him. Why don't you make his life tough and we'll see what he does, right? That's Satan's thing. Satan attacks. Satan criticizes. Satan tears down. Satan accuses the saints. But Paul says, no effect. To no effect, right? The work of Christ on the cross for our salvation, the work of the Father giving up his Son for our salvation, that's why Paul starts Romans 8:28 with the words, and we know. You hear that word? And we know, not I'm guessing, not I'm hoping. We know. I like the verb know. By the way, I want to know, it means it's a matter of cognition. Know and feel can be different, can't they? I like it when the faith feels good, don't you? There's certain high moments in the church year. You've heard me say before, I'm a kid about Christmas time. I love Christmas Eve worship services. I love Good Friday worship services, and we focus so clearly on the cross. And my favorite hymn is It Is Well. I like can't sing it. That feels good. The feeling of that is great. Do I always feel like that? No, so I don't always feel it, but I can always know what God has done. Now, Paul wants to put those things together. The love of the Father, the work of the Son, accomplished fact. We know this because he's not saying you'll never have sufferings. He's saying we need to know this because we do have sufferings, right? So he's saying all these good things, and the next thing he does in Romans 8:35 is list seven types of suffering. He's saying, all this be true, then guess what? Well, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword, count them up, seven. Do we experience those things? We can. We don't experience them all the time, but any of them could be. Believers throughout the world do suffer all those things, no doubt about it. And by the way, we should be in prayer for our brothers and sisters in Christ around the globe. But those seven things, trouble, hardship, persecution, famine, nakedness, danger, sword, but Paul's point is, shall any of that separate us from the love of Christ? No. That's where he's headed. He's not saying Romans 8:28 to be a band-aid. He's saying 8:28 not to say that we won't have trouble. He's saying we need to know Romans 8:28 because we will have trouble. And then he says, in all these things, we are more than conquerors. In Greek, the phrase more than conquerors doesn't have a noun, it has a verb. Verbs are action words, right? The verb is actually conquered, but it has a prefix in Greek, huper. In English, you know that as hyper. I love it. Paul is saying, we go through all these things, you know what we are? We're hyper conquerors, uber conquerors. We see these things going on in life, we're hyper conquerors over them, and this is after having the verse before saying that we're sheep to be slaughtered. This passage says, in Christ, the sheep conquer. Verses 38 and 39, he closes it this way. For I'm convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, this is what most Christians do. There's that long list of things, and we usually just substitute the word nothing. I'm convinced that nothing will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. If that lets you memorize that verse, please do that. If you want to memorize the whole list. What can separate us from the love of God? Nothing. And before he said, I know, did you notice what he said? I'm convinced. I've looked into it. I've read it. I've read the word. I've experienced life. I'm convinced that nothing will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Last verses of Romans part 1. Nothing. So I'll ask you this. Can people hate us? I don't want to say this. Yes, but that doesn't touch our salvation. You see, that's what he's saying. Can people mock us? Yes, but that doesn't touch our salvation. Can they persecute us? Yes, but that doesn't touch our salvation. Can they even kill us? Yes, but what? That doesn't touch our salvation. All things. Nothing. Right? Cannot touch our salvation. Amen. And we stand together. And may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and our minds with Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.